Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
And we are into our grow model, as you know. Yeah, I think that's what we're doing right now, the grow model. And if you know, we've been having Pastor Michael Musagwiza, you know, has been on a violent streak this whole week. He has been throwing bombs all week long. I can't stand another day where we are going to have without Mr. Musagwiza. I was hoping we'd have another week and another week just for him to come and throw these bombs. But we can't. Today is our last day with the good pastor. We won't be able to have him again up until the next season, maybe next week or next month. I am saddened, but I am happy to have had Mfundisi Musagwiza joining us to give us some perspective and teaching us in the way that he has been teaching us. So, one more time, Pastor Michael Musagwiza, good afternoon to you. Welcome back to Live, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
The pleasure is always mine. Good afternoon and happy preparation day, Lupondwana.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Happy preparation day to you too. Today we are dealing with becoming who God designed us to be. And, well, the idea of character, since we're dealing with character change isn't just about being a better version of yourself, as what these quackers on social media will have us being. I'm just trying to be a better version of myself. No, it's about becoming who God intended you to be. Get it right. It's not self-help. This jibber-jabber that many people use on social media is a pile of trash. And that's why we need to have Scripture guide us. Not self-help, God's help. God must fashion us and reshape us into what He wants us to be. And it's a journey, not a destination, silly. That's why we have Mfundisi Musagwiza on the line today. Mfundisi, how do you know when your character is aligned with God's will? Do you, or can you ever know?
Yes, sure. This alignment actually can be recognized through a sense of peace.
Okay.
You know, a peace in the valley.
Oh.
With Jesus in the vessel, you can smile at the storm.
Indeed.
You know, that growing sense of empathy and love for others, an increasing desire to follow God's commandments.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible actually describes this process as being transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's Romans 12, verse 2.
Okay.
And it involves the deepening relationship with God and the reflection of His character in
right,
our lives.
Right, right.
You bear fruits to see that you're aligning with God's will.
Right.
Fruits determine your roots.
Okay.
That your roots are grounded on Christ.
Right.
Is shown by the fruits.
Yeah. Okay.
It's determined by the fruits, yeah. The sweeter the fruits, then the deeper are your roots.
Okay. So what does becoming new in Christ mean to you, Mfundisi?
Becoming new in Christ involves a spiritual transformation where old ways of thinking and living are replaced by a new life in Christ.
Right.
I love the words of my favorite writer, Ellen White, in the book Testimonies, Volume 5.
Right.
Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5.
Right.
Page 515, where she describes this transformation as a process of putting off the old man with his deeds.
Okay.
And putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Right.
So becoming new means embracing a new identity and living according to God's will.
Okay. So tell me, Mfundisi, when we are talking about this whole idea of being new, why do you think God is more interested in your character than in your comfort?
It's always, it's become the divine design that before we get to Canaan, we have to go via the wilderness.
Oh.
The wilderness university that our character is revealed.
Oh. Yeah.
If university, the wilderness, you know, in the wilderness, that's when we learn more about God.
Yeah.
That is the provider. By the way, water from a rock gushes out in the wilderness, not in Egypt, not in Canaan.
Yeah.
But it's in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And it's in the fire. It's in the fire that the 40 men get revealed. You know, without the seven heated fire, the 40 men cannot be seen.
Yeah.
So God's interest in character over comfort likely stems from the understanding that true fulfillment and peace come from living according to his design.
Yeah.
Character development is crucial for building strong, healthy relationships with God and others.
Right.
And so the Bible emphasizes in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7.
Yeah.
That the Bible, they emphasize the importance of character in our relationship with God.
Right.
You know, it states that God does not bother on the outside, but he looks at the heart.
Right, right.
No matter how beautiful a pencil can be, the inner part of it, that black one, that's the one that works. That's the one that is important.
Right, right.
And you have to sharpen the pencil for you to get to the inside of it.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Now, once we have been sharpened, Mfundisi, once we have been sharpened and the pencil is sharp, nice, and the tip is sharp, at some point after writing, that sharpened tip becomes dull. What does it take to stay sharp, to stay committed to lifelong transformation? I mean, if God transformed a brand new pencil by sharpening it into a sharp pencil, what will it take for me to stay sharp, to stay committed for all my life, to stay transformed? Well, what would it take?
In fact, when the pencil gets shorter, that's when it actually leaves its prints. That's when it leaves its marks.
Right.
When it gets shorter.
Mm.
Up until the time that the whole pencil is finished, but its prints remains.
Yeah.
So staying committed actually involves a daily decision.
Right.
To pursue growth. You know, it takes regular self-reflection and seeking God's guidance and being part of a supportive community.
Right.
I overheard your discussion that was supposed to be with the Pastor Caleb.
Right.
Of whether one is justified to stay home and not go to church.
Right, right.
You know, to stay committed as a lifelong transformation actually requires one to always strive to be a part of a supportive community.
Right.
And
right.
That is a sign. That is a sign of one who desires to cultivate his continual commitment.
Right.
And also, to stay committed also can be a daily decision.
Yeah.
You know, a daily decision to pursue growth and transformation.
Yeah.
This involves setting aside time for reflection, setting aside time for prayer, and seeking God's guidance.
Right.
The Bible actually, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, encourages us not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Of the mind, yes.
And also to stay committed, you need to regularly assess your progress.
Yeah.
Acknowledging areas for improvement, celebrating successes.
Okay.
You know, and this can be done through journaling, or meditation, or discussions with a mentor, or accountability, belonging to groups,
right,
prayer band groups,
right,
etc.,
right,
etc. As well as also, finally, I would say also, you need to seek guidance. You see, constantly seeking for God's guidance, which is there in his word. You know, actively seeking God's guidance through prayer and study of scripture.
Right.
The psalmist writes in my favorite psalm, in the longest chapter of the book of Psalms, that's chapter 119. I love verse 105, which says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet,
yes,
and a light for my path, and a light on my path."
Yeah.
So to be constantly committed, you need to be constantly being guided,
right,
by the lamp on our feet and his light on our path, which is his word.
In fact, Mfundisi, I'm going to steal a bit of your time after this conversation, seeing that you had time to think and apply your mind to ask a pastor question, to hear your take on it. But let's finish this conversation first. So as we conclude this one, Mfundisi, how can your story of change inspire someone else? If God has made changes in our lives, how can we make those changes be inspiring to somebody else?
So when we have a Damascadian experience
right.
in God, we then have to tell others.
Yes.
We have an onus, we have a responsibility
right.
to share with others. It takes a dam to fill before it spills.
Okay, okay.
So dams must spill as a sign that they fill.
Right, right.
And if they don't spill, if dams don't spill, they burst.
Okay.
So sharing your story of change can actually have a profound impact on others.
Right.
Here are a few ways it can inspire. Number one, by providing hope.
Okay.
Your story can provide hope to those who are struggling or
right.
feeling stuck.
Right.
By sharing your experiences and the challenges we've overcome, you can actually show others that change is possible.
Right.
And we also look at encouragement itself. Your testimony can encourage others to pursue their own journey of transformation.
Right.
You know, by being open and honest about your growth, you can actually inspire others to take steps towards their own change.
Right.
And then your story also can serve as a tangible example of God's transformative power.
Right.
By sharing how God has worked in your life, you can actually point others to the hope and the redemption that
right.
is found in Christ. And finally, I can also say that sharing your story can actually help build the connections with others
right.
who may be going through similar experiences.
Mm.
This can create a sense of community and support, which is crucial for ongoing growth and
right.
transformation.
Right. Okay. All right, Mfundis, please do not go away. I just want to take one brief break, and then we come back. I want to steal your thought, just a fleeting thought on Ask a Pastor question, which you were supposed to ask Pastor Caleb. I'd like to hear your take on it, since you had a few minutes to apply your mind. Don't go anywhere. Just allow me to just take a brief break, and I'll come back and talk to you. Is that okay, Mfundis?
That's fine, that's fine.
All right, thank you very much, Mfundis.
Do you want to listen to Adventist World Radio SID Media but struggle with data? Don't worry. Get yourself the Hope Channel Africa decoder and switch to the Radio Bouquet to listen to your favorite Christian radio station. Contact us on +27 73 470 3520 or visit www.sidmedia.org to place your order.
Right, let's try and get into our Ask a Pastor question. Briefly, we will not be as exhaustive as we were going to be with Pastor Caleb because we are now hijacking Pastor Musa Gwiza. Mfundisi, you heard our question, and as you were touching on it, I thought perhaps would give you an opportunity to just share with us your thoughts in it. Our question is it wrong for someone to skip church to prioritize self-care or rest?
Yeah, it requires one to understand the objective of going to church.
Yes.
You know, once we understand the objective of going to church, then we can now know whether we have a priority for skipping church by staying at home or we are mandated for the good of us, of course,
right,
to go and meet up with others.
Right.
You know, we are referred in the Bible in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, as lights that are supposed to shine for others.
Mm.
The Bible says in Mark 5, 16, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds
right.
and glorify your Father in heaven.
Right.
So I will think personally that absenting yourself from meeting up with others can be like a light that has been hidden under a bushel.
All right.
You know, yeah, when we meet up with others, that's when iron gets sharpened by another iron.
Right.
That's when we cultivate our faith. Jesus actually says, where two or three are gathered in my
right.
name,
right.
I am there also among them.
Mm.
And the gathering of people, especially on Sabbath, that's a holy convocation.
Right.
You know, God is there also among us. So absending from such a gathering is unjustified in my own view.
Even when you are exhausted,
to go and meet up with others.
Even when you are exhausted, Mfundisi, you've been working so hard for 6 days. You've been working, laboring hard, and now you're exhausted. Do you want us to go and fall asleep at church?
And that's ideal. That the meeting of people at church is actually for those who are exhausted. Remember, the Bible actually says, the commandment actually says 6 days you shall labor.
Right.
And the seventh day is a day of rest.
Yes.
So when you realize that you're actually exhausted, then the Sabbath is actually meant for you.
Yes, this, the Sabbath. Our question is going to church. Should I rest on the seventh day, or should I go to church when I'm exhausted?
Yes, going to church is actually keeping the Sabbath. That's keeping the Sabbath. That's being together. That's when you get revitalized.
Okay.
That's when you get revived by others.
All right.
It's not the physical. It's not. Yes, it is the rest for gaining strength physically. But there is more to physical. Because you have to get the rest also in the mental. You have to gain, you have to gain strength in the mental. You have to gain strength even in the spiritual. It's not a matter of being focused on the physical alone.
Yeah.
How about the mental and the spiritual?
Yeah.
The mental and the spiritual is actually revived when you are meeting up with others at church.
Okay.
So staying at your home, yes, it's fine, but it's a part of the rest. It's a part of the whole.
Right.
You are focused on the physical only, but you are leaving out the mental and the spiritual.
So staying at home is wrong, Funes.
It's a third. You have only focused on the third, but you will miss out on the other two things.
Is it wrong, Funes? Staying at home.
It's one third. One over three.
Okay.
So go and get the 2/3.
Yeah.
And then come back for the 1/3.
Okay.
After the 2/3.
Okay.
That's my suggestion.
Got it. Thank you very much, Mpunis. Appreciate your time. It's always a pleasure listening to you explain things. God bless you and have a blessed Sabbath tomorrow, Mpunis.
Yes. May the same blessings be reciprocated to you also, Lupondwana, and the rest of the listeners. Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Mpunis.
Be part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.